Welcome to
Curmudgeon's Corner.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner, which is a worse podcast. You should not be listening to
this. Okay, you did that last week. Okay, welcome to Curmudgeon.
I get to.
Alex, let's do it together.
Let's do it together.
Ivan says no.
Three.
I get you two confused all the time.
One. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner.
Okay. Have you got it out of your system? Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, April 6th, 2018. I'm Sam Minter and Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
And I'm here too. I'm going to be here in background.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Quiet.
Can I have a short segment, like 5 minutes?
Not today.
Why?
Snip, snip. The agenda today is two segments. Segment number one, stupid Trump policy stuff. And see, we're sticking with policy.
We're going to go policy heavy.
Policy heavy. We're going to talk about all the stuff Trump has been doing or at least talking about with Syria, Mexico, tariffs, anything else we can think of along those lines. And then for our second segment, we are going to get into the stupid Trump scandals. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Mueller investigation. We're going to talk about Trump and shuffling his lawyers around. I guess we'll talk about the guy at the EPA. That's sort of a Trump scandal, right? It's not himself, but it's his administration. Right. We'll talk about whether Trump is going to testify. And I guess we'll talk about Stormy and the Playmate, too. Anything else we talk about those lines. But we're going to segregate all that stuff to the second segment. So people who don't like that, I'm talking to you, Bruce, can stop at that point if they want to. and that's basically it. Before we jump into the two main segments, Yvonne, any light frothy stuff to talk about initially, or should we just jump right in?
I got a yellow fever vaccine.
Well, that's better than having yellow fever.
That's true.
How was it? Exciting?
It costs $306, number one.
That's pricey.
Yep, that's the one thing. The second thing I found is there's a shortage of yellow fever vaccine.
Now, is this for work? Or is for someplace you're
going to
be going to work?
Well, I'm going to Brazil, okay, in about 2 weeks. There has been, I've been to Brazil many times before. This has not been an issue. But there happens to be a big yellow fever outbreak in Brazil. And since January, there's been a travel advisory advising anybody that is traveling to Brazil to get the yellow fever vaccine. Okay. Because of, so I was like, well, I guess I should get the vaccine. Now I found out that there's a massive shortage of the vaccine because of this, and the U.S. approved version of the vaccine is not in stock. They don't have it. So I went to this place where they had a European version of it, which is made by the same manufacturer. It's not the same exact one as the U.S., but under some waiver by the U.S. I can't remember. It's not the CDC. I think it's the FDA. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. They are allowing it to be used in the United States because of the shortage. They gave you like this pamphlet that was like 10 pages explaining all sorts of things about the vaccine, about risks, about the fact that apparently my data will not be private because I take this vaccine and how it's going to be shared. It was a 10-page thing that they gave me to sign. They gave me two waivers to sign. I got given this vaccine. And then the thing is that they say, well, you need to sit here and we're going to turn on a timer for 20 minutes to make sure you don't have a seizure or something fucked up happens.
Yeah, okay.
And then after that, then you can go. Okay. And, you know, with three hit less, well, I'm well, since this is for business, I am having this
reimbursed.
Expensing, yes, yeah. I am expensing this. But yeah, it's $300 for this damn thing. I did feel like after I got ejected, I felt a little bit of some weirdness in the side of it.
Probably psychosomatic.
I'm gonna get no. Actually, it did indicate on that pamphlet some symptoms like that would be happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Okay. And this was like 20, and this was like about 40 minutes later. It was afterwards that I start feeling something, but they said they're temporary and they would be gone by the next day, and they were. But yeah, I got a yellow fever vaccine. I never had to get a vaccine before for travel. I don't know if you've had.
I have not in a long time, but I mean, I went to Africa during college.
What did you have to get for Africa? Malaria?
It was a whole bunch of stuff, but Yvonne, we're talking 24 years ago. I don't fucking remember what I took.
But you don't remember anything. I keep forgetting. But you did have to get vaccines. I never had to have gotten any vaccines for travel before. So this is the first time. There's this company actually over here. I don't know if there are other places. It was called Passport Health. And so they actually specialize in travel vaccination.
Yeah, I do remember when I did this, going to some place in D.C. It wasn't like my normal doctor or anything. It was some place in Washington, D.C. that specialized in travel vaccinations whatever the hell I needed.
Yeah. So, you know, because it's like for example, because I, you know, I called like a regular like place first, and they were like, oh, we're all out, whatever. And then, you know, I kept seeing that this place was recommended, and I called them up, and they were like, oh, yeah, we have it. You know, make an appointment. You come in, get this done. No problem. Okay. And then the other thing is that I had to also get a visa to travel again. So this is I am. You know, before I had gotten I had a Brazil visa that had expired a few years back, about 2 or 3 years ago, and I had to get a new visa. The thing is that, I mean, this is like the third visa I've gotten like this year. I mean, the only visa I'd gotten before was a Brazil visa, to be honest with you. But I mean, I've had to get like my third visa. Now, this one, they actually now, modern technology, they actually allow for an electronic visa. Before, I used to have to go to the consulate, and it was this mess and whatever to get the visa done. But they have a system now where I submitted everything electronically, and they sent me I don't even get it on the passport. They actually sent me a printout of a visa. It has a QR code on it and anything, so they can – I just need to present a printout of it when I check in at the airport and when I cross through immigration, and they use that instead of having one on the passport. So I never had that before.
All of that sounds exciting. I will give my one thing that I want to say before we jump into the other topics is books. Now, I actually did finish a book this week, but I'm going to save that for some other time.
You're a better man than I am. I am like shamefully, you know, not read anything.
Well,
like,
and this is
not a book.
Right. Well, this is exactly what I want to talk about. And I actually like went earlier this week, and I may end up posting it to my blog. By the time you guys listen to this, maybe I'll post it to my blog. But I went ahead, and of course, because I keep track of all these things, I made a graph of how many books I've read per year from 2006 to the present. This is Sam from the future here. I did indeed make a blog post with that graph and some of my commentary that's actually going to parallel what you'll hear in the next few minutes about my book reading. It was posted on Saturday, April 7th on ablesme.com. That's ABULSME.com. The title is I'm Not Reading Enough. I Blame Trump and Twitter. I show the graph of my reading from 2006 to 2017, broken down into physical books, Kindle books, and Audible books. I do a little bit of commentary, and I end with a list of every book I've read from 2012 to 2017 for everybody out there who cares, which is probably nobody. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, back to the show. Do, do, do.
Do, do.
Okay. That's as far as I had complete records. Before 2006, I had sort of spotty records. But from 2006 onward, I had like, I've got every book I've read. Okay. And, you know, and there was a dramatic drop off in 2016 and 2017. To give you an idea, in, you know, 2000, let's see, in 2011, well, 2011 and 2014 tied for my best in this time frame with 17 books. But I had, in just the recent years, 2014, 17 books. 2015, 15 books. Then in 2016, I dropped to 5. And in 2017, 3. Now, this is including physical books, ebooks, and Audible books, all three types. And even including all of that, you know, I only finished 3 in 2017. Now, this only counts books I was reading to myself. I read like 2 additional books with my son, big novel books, and then who knows how many kids books. But in any case, but books I read for myself, I mean, 3 is a pitiful number for a year. And 5 the previous year is pitiful.
Okay, I will look.
Look,
I can trace this lack of productivity probably to the same thing. Why yeah, I don't
this is what I was about to say. Go ahead.
Look, I'm sorry, but with my son like in the mix right now.
Oh, okay, this is a different thing. Okay, go ahead.
My book. This is the main reason my book reading has collapsed to nil. I mean, it just doesn't leave me any time anymore.
So,
the time that I used to read a lot was before I went to bed, like right before then. Look, my son doesn't I'm doing this podcast. My son doesn't go to sleep now until very late every damn time. By the time I hit the bed, I'm in there. I've started reading. I read a page, I'm out. I'm done. I don't get past a page.
So I'll tell you, that's interesting. The entire time frame I gave you was all after my son was born. Well, no, it wasn't. He was born in 2009. So the first few years was not. But I didn't actually have a dip when my son was born. My reading actually went up after my son was born. But then it's nosedived in the last 2 years specifically. And I can point it to something completely different, which is being completely fucking totally addicted to real time. What the fuck is Donald Trump going to do next? And so,
I do agree that probably effect, yes, because all the time, if you're scrolling through fucking Twitter
exactly
on real time about what the fuck is going on, that yes, that leaves very little time for other reading.
Yeah,
and it's not like I'm not reading. I am reading.
Yeah,
but it's not a book.
Exactly. And so, what the pattern has been is that, like, for all of those spare moments, and that includes like going to bed. It includes like while I'm in the bathroom, it includes while I'm in line at Starbucks, it includes whatever, all of these or just spare little moments here and there throughout the day where in past years I'd pull out my Kindle and or my iPhone, the Kindle app on my phone, and read a few pages here, a few pages there, whatever. All of those moments have been replaced by scrolling through goddamn Twitter, seeing what's the new news of right now, this very moment. And, you know, it's unhealthy, frankly, like because frankly, like I've said, frankly, several times. So I'll say frankly, and try to get it out of my system.
Well, whatever. Yeah, you go. Well, whatever.
The point being, though, that, you know, if news breaks at 10 p.m. one night, and is nothing's going to happen bad if I don't read about it till the morning. I can take the half hour and read something in my novel or my nonfiction book or whatever, and that's okay. Whereas I've been in a mindset, you know, since, you know, the whole 2016 election season and the first year of the Trump administration, I've sort of been in a mindset where if I'm looking at something that isn't connect it to like live, like Twitter is like a live real time stream of what's going on, that, oh my God, I might be missing out on something. And that's even though I've got like alerts. So like if something really big comes up, I'm going to get a news alert. Right. But,
right.
But I still like whenever I'm doing something that I feel like I'm unplugged from the current stream of what's going on, I start feeling antsy. And this does feel like an addiction or a dependency or something. And I'm like, that's not healthy. I mean, like, it was good to read 15, 16, 17 books in a year. You know, because I always split religiously half fiction, half nonfiction. And so I'm learning things with the nonfiction. I'm entertaining myself with the fiction. But, like, the last 2 years have dropped to like pitiful numbers, and that's even including audiobooks I was listening to in the car. And so I've done it's not a New Year's resolution. It's a April Fool's Day resolution or something.
There's an April Fool's Day resolution thing?
There is now.
I'm not in the business of the April Fool's resolution thing.
And apparently I'm a fool to do it.
I'm out of the loop.
But my goal, and I'm only a few days into this now, is to boost my reading back up. And the two specific elements I'm doing right now, and maybe it'll expand more, maybe it won't, but I'm trying to discipline myself to read right before I go to bed at least 20 minutes, or at least one chapter. If it's a short chapter, I'll be satisfied with a chapter if it's a short chapter. If it's a really long chapter that's going to take like an hour to read, I'll be okay. Like, okay, I did 20 minutes. I did 30 minutes. That's good enough. I'll go to bed now. But I'm trying to read then, and I'm trying to play my audiobooks on the commute home every day. I'll do podcasts at the commute to work, but in the commute home, I'm like, okay, I'm back to podcasts. Because I had been, you know, listening to some live CNN and MSNBC and or podcasts or other stuff. And I'm like, no, let's do the audiobooks again. That was a good thing to be doing. And so, we'll see if it lasts. But I'm like, you know, maybe I'm not going to break my record from 2016 to the present of topping 17 books in 1 year. That might be overly ambitious. But come on, I can do better than 3, which is what I did in 2017. I can do better than 5.
You're doing better than I am. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I've been years where I know I've done well north of 10 books in a freaking year. And like lately, I'm down the...
No. Yeah, all I'm saying is it's pitiful, and I need to do better. And like, the type of knowledge you get from like, you know, mainlining Twitter, is one kind of thing.
So this is what we're doing. We're mainlining Twitter. Is that what it is?
I guess so. I heard somebody use that word a few days ago, and I'm like, okay, that works.
It's a fact. Yeah, it works.
It is different. Like. Like the nonfiction book I just started, I finished a book earlier this week and I just started a new book, and it's Brethren by Bob Woodward, writing about the Supreme Court in the early 1970s. You know, and I'm only like, you know, maybe 20, 30 pages into the book. But, you know, it's like, okay, this is something that I don't know about. I'm going to learn some interesting facts about the Supreme Court and what was going on and politics that, you know, and it's not the kind of thing I would get just like watching the Twitter updates of the day, you know, but it's going to enhance my knowledge, you know.
And there you go.
And, right before that, I the book I finished was a murder mystery set in Nazi Germany, which I'll talk about on the show some other time. But, you know, so fun stuff. I need to get more of that and like just step back a little bit and allow the nonsense of the day to day. What crazy stuff is happening today? Just step back a little bit. And read some long form things that have a little bit more perspective and, you know, whatever, you know, or some fun novels, you know, I don't know. So that's it for me. So let's take a break and we'll come back with, you know, the stuff we've all been mainlining, the stupid Trump policy stuff and stupid Trump scandals, policy stuff first. Back after this.
Was I good?
So far. You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening too, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun.
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay. We are back. So where do you want to start, Yvonne? There have been a whole bunch of these things where Trump has basically gone off in an unexpected way without talking to his staff in any way, shape, or form and kicked off a, we're doing this, and then his whole staff tries to scramble to keep up with either, you know, walking back things and minimizing the damage or... I guess we have to actually do this, or usually a combination thereof, where they have to do something, but I don't know. Where do you start?
All right. So, I think that one that came up, which I was just – it just seemed to come out of left field. We're leaving Syria. I'm like, what the fuck happened that morning that he decided that we're leaving Syria? I mean, what the hell happened?
Now, to be clear – you and I have talked about Syria in the past and aren't entirely opposed to leaving Syria. I mean, freaking mess. It's unclear that our participation is actually making anything better. And yes, if we leave, the Iranians and the Russians are going to have a lot of influence in the area, but they do anyway. And frankly, it may well be the quickest way to get to the point where we don't have, you know, lots of innocent civilians dying every day, is to just get, you know, let it end. Let Assad finish taking over the country again and let what happens happen. And as bad as he is, maybe it's better than a continuing war.
All good.
Right.
Okay. Here's the problem. My question is, why the hell did he decide
right
to wake
now
up whatever the hell and say we're leaving right now?
Yeah. Well, because the thing is, like I was saying, this has happened on a bunch of issues, but specifically on this one, he apparently, at the moment he said it,
something on Fox News?
Well, but at the moment he said it, nobody in the military was expecting him to say anything of the sort.
Or he had discussed it, or what the options are, or, okay, and I'm like, he didn't go and say, great, guys, look, I think that we're not being effective in Syria. This ain't happening. What's our exit strategy? What do we do? All right. How do we do this? He just woke up and just said, we're leaving Syria.
Right. And then everybody's been sort of walking that back and saying, well, he wants to leave, but we've got all this stuff that we're doing now. We're committed to defeating ISIS. We're committed to staying until there's a stable situation, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile,
I think that's the biggest problem that he's got with this whole leaving Syria. Look, this is the guy that said that he knows more about ISIS than the generals, right? Mm-hmm. And that he's going to beat ISIS. Like, you know, didn't he say that he was going to crush them, beat them, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, apparently he hates Iran, which is he wants a deal. So he wants to end their influence. So he's going to take care of them. So if I look from the things that he's talked about, The ones that he said, leaving Syria doesn't accomplish any of that. Right?
No.
No? Okay. So, I'm still wondering, why the hell did he decide that he wanted to leave Syria now? I still don't have, I mean, did you get any clarity why he said we're leaving?
No, there's no clarity on why he's doing this at this particular moment, at this particular time, in this particular way, nothing like that. Now, to be fair, you're back going into the campaign. This is something he has said before. He's said before, why are we there? Why don't we let them take care of it? Let it be their problem. So this is not entirely new. The question is
during the campaign, he said the opposite too.
Well,
yeah. Go all in.
True.
So yeah. What the hell?
We should be long past the point where we're looking for any sort of consistency from Donald Trump.
I'm not looking for consistency. What I was looking for is just to understand.
Why now?
Because why the hell did he wake up this week and say we're leaving Syria? I just don't have any clarity. He didn't explain why.
Right.
He just said we're pulling out. And I still don't know why. Was it because a conversation with Putin?
Well, or it was just he decided to shake things up that day. You know, there may not be anything nefarious here whatsoever. It may just
be that there is. This is more what I said about this is that this is just more utter like confusion.
Right.
And chaos and lack of leadership. And that's all I'm saying.
And you're probably what you said first is probably more right than anything else, which there was probably something on Fox and Friends.
I'm guessing there must have been something on Fox and Friends because a lot of people have been looking at what the hell is there. And all of a sudden, whatever the hell it blurts out, there's a good cross coordination.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that we've actually seen, something just scrolled by on Twitter while we were talking about this to remind me, but Trump aides are on the record saying that in some cases, in order to try to get a message to Donald Trump, they book people on Fox to go talk about whatever they want to say.
You got to be kidding me. Are you fucking serious?
Oh, yeah, completely. Because he won't pay attention if they bring an expert into the Oval Office to brief him on something. So instead,
but they'll put him on TV and then he'll probably pay sense.
Yeah, so they'll take that same guy who they might otherwise have go talk to Trump in person and book him on Fox instead.
Okay. All right. Let's, I guess, whatever.
Because
works.
That's how you get his attention. That's how you get him to pay attention and care about something.
Okay, then.
But the problem is then you have competing people trying to get different people on Fox to give different messages, and it's a question of who.
Right, so
who
then it's just a clusterfuck. Right.
But now with the walk back, it's been interesting because all of his staff tried to sort of walk back this and say, well, no, not really, kind of, yeah, but, and then Trump apparently has come out a couple more times and said, well, yeah, we are getting out. You know, so, but this gets to one of the core issues here is nobody knows what the fuck to believe. And what he says may or may not have any relation to what actually ends up happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying with this. I just have no idea. I mean, because it's the thing, you know, it's the continuing theme, you know. Let me just talk publicly, you know, off the cuff. Let me not consult with my advisors. Let me not consult anything. Let me not even look at the facts, whatever. Just blurt out something. You know, the people, markets, everything is like whipsawed all over the place by whatever the fuck he said. And, you know, nobody knows what the hell to do.
Right. And the thing is, though, one of the things that we've started to see in the last few weeks is that in cases where previously these kinds of debates, he's always done this to some degree, but the staff has been able to sort of keep a lid on it. But what's happening lately is Trump's sort of had enough of that. And he's like, fuck that. I'm not going to. If I talk to people, they're just going to tell me not to say this. So I'm just going to fucking say it. And I'm going to do what I want even sooner. Like I said, he's always done that to some degree. But the talk is of this Donald Trump uncorked or unplugged or whatever the hell, that where, you know, he's just feeling free to just go right ahead and barrel into these. And if his staff doesn't seem like they're actually doing the thing that he said to do, he's starting to override them and push them. He's not putting up as much as he used to be with the staff saying, oh, okay, Donald, whatever you want, and then slow walking it. He'll allow a little bit, but then he seems to blow up. And, you know, and this tying back to the staffing things, Tillerson, McMaster, all of these folks who've been leaving, a theme has been they weren't doing the things he wanted them to do.
Well, yeah, but so now he's, you know, yeah, he's trying to, I mean, he's getting rid of all these people that basically are the obstacles to that. And now he's filling himself with what it seems to be like a complete television staff.
Right.
Kudlow, Bolton, then the whole thing about apparently what's his name? He's putting on calls to advise him. The crazy guy, Dobbs.
Lou Dobbs. Yeah, Lou Dobbs. Yeah,
right.
Now, Lou Dobbs is not in the administration yet, but apparently there was a report this week that on a number of occasions, it's not clear exactly how often this happened, but the report,
on speakerphone.
He would be in an Oval Office meeting with whoever, and he'd get tired of the people who were in front of him, and so he'd call up Lou Dobbs and put him on speakerphone and say, okay, what do you think, Lou? And then apparently at various points, he's like, now look, everybody in this room, pay attention to Lou. He knows what he's talking about.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about Syria. We don't understand what the fuck is going on with Syria. Okay. All right. Bottom line is that, you know.
Are we getting out, Yvonne?
Beats the shit out of me.
I don't think so. I think.
I don't think we're getting out, you know, soon. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, all right.
Mexico?
I was going to go with DACA.
Okay. Oh, DACA. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, that's
okay.
Also
so he went to Mexico, on this whole thing, right? Now, you know, he had said to all the DACA folks, no, I've got your back. Don't worry, whatever. And then over Easter weekend, he basically said, the Democrats fucked you. You're fucked. Whatever. Screw all of you.
Yeah.
Right? So he's basically said, fuck them. He doesn't care anymore. And he's blaming the Democrats for it at this point.
And he wants everybody else to blame the Democrats, too.
Correct. I'm looking at this and I'm, you know. I mean, none of the deals that were presented to him, he will accept. So I'm guessing from his last tweet that DACA's dead? Well, because the court stopped it from being dead.
Well, and also, although that was just temporary until they could review it in full this fall or something like that. So we'll see how that ends up. But in the meantime, he rejected all the deals, but he was about to accept some of them until his staff was like, no. So again, we have this whipsawing back and forth where, you know, you go back to that public meeting that he had with Republicans and Democrats, and he was being all positive about the deal and agreeing to things that the Democrats suggested. And then, you know, the Republican Congress members leaned over and were like, that's not what you mean, Mr. Trump. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's not what I mean. It's like, but at the moment, it looks like he's done, like, thinking about this, negotiating. No. And frankly, the Democrats have kind of been done, too. The fact that the court did intervene the way they did took all of the pressure off. So nobody's doing a damn thing, probably, until sometime in the fall when the Supreme Court makes a decision. And then depending...
Or if it stretches even longer to, you know, we've got a frickin' election.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's DACA. Okay. That happened.
Yeah.
I love this. You know, you mentioned Twitter, so I fired up my Twitter to look at something to scroll. Rick Wilson, Republican, you know, talking head, sent us a copy of an email he got. This is why I hate social media. Rick, I'll read this. This is very, very, he copied a message that he got over
now,
social media.
Is this actually related to our topic, or are you just distracted?
Nope. I'm going to distract you for 1 second, because this is just disgusting. Rick, you stupid, nigger-loving, Jew-worshipping, feeble cuck of a man. Ricky Vaughn has more humanitas in his little finger than you have in that whole pathetic sack of shit that you call a body. I mean, who writes this shit, man?
And this, just by the way, is in reference to, there was an article profile of this Twitter troll, I guess, named right, Ricky Vaughn, who apparently got really prominent over the last year or two.
He was apparently 28 years old.
Doing, you know, basically right-wing trolling of various sorts, including what? It was a bunch of...
Everything.
Yeah. All the worst you could imagine of the Trump-type Republicans.
Who can write something?
And so I guess Rick Wilson was, you know, a more moderate Republican who's sort of saying, yeah, this is disgusting. And then the Vaughn supporters came out and slammed him. Is this what's happened? Okay.
Yep. But who can write something that despicable, man? And it's okay. Let me just write that to somebody. Okay. Anyway. All right. Sorry. Why the hell did I fire up this thing? Anyway, this is your fault. Anyway. All right. So next policy. Okay. Yes. All right. Trade wars are easy to win. Or are we lost?
Oh, yeah. We lost them years ago, but they're easy to win.
We lost them years ago.
Now, the way you can make this consistent is we lost the trade wars years ago because people other than Donald Trump were in charge. Now that Donald Trump is in charge, he's going to win the trade wars.
But that's not what he said.
That's what he meant.
You think?
Yes.
I don't think that's what he meant. I still don't even think that's what he meant. Because I don't really think he knows what the hell he means. So, you know, let's start off with that. So, you know, who the hell knows what he meant. But, I mean, so now we're in this tit-for-tat trade war thing. And everybody's, like, really panicking.
Here's a couple things on this. And I do want you to give some of the details of what's going on with all these tariffs and stuff. But one of the things I've noted is, if we remember the steel and aluminum one, it was, at first it was all countries, really severe, blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, oh, okay, we'll grant an exception to this country and this country and this country and this country.
Well, but now he's focused on China.
No, I know. But
fuck everybody.
No, but my point is with the steel tariffs, at first when it was announced, it was broad, it was unthought out, it was on everybody, right? And then within the space of a couple weeks, it got scaled back to almost nothing. Now, one of the things you said, yeah, he's concentrating entirely on China right now, but none of the things that have been talked about China yet are actually in effect. Most of them, he has directed various agencies to investigate the possibility of doing X.
Neither have the Chinese. They've all been announced. Okay, that is correct. They're not in effect like right now.
And so part of the question here is, we're doing all this tit for tat, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. By the time we get to the end of these study periods or whatever, like, are any of these actually ever going to take effect?
Who knows? Not? Look, the last time we've had a tariff war like this, the way that the genius over here is doing it was over like, I think you have to go back to the 1920s. 30s, 40s, something like that. I mean, because this isn't just a tariff. You know, we've had, like, spats over specific trade areas. Like, we had a big spat with the Japanese over cars or stuff like that. So it was over specific product, okay? And, you know, during the 80s, like, we had import quotas and Japanese vehicles and some other stuff like that. Okay, so we had that, but it was targeting a specific industry. This right now is just massive, broad, you know, items all over. Farmers, we're talking autos, we're talking aircraft, we're talking everything under the sun is being targeted.
So what's the back and forth that's actually happened first? So Donald Trump started it with what, and then how did the Chinese respond? And
Chinese responded with a series of tariffs on a whole bunch of products. China came up with a $50 billion hit list. It included U.S. cars, planes, and soy. Specifically, the major category, soybeans, to which we export to China $14 billion a year, commercial aircraft, heaven forbid, one of our biggest, most profitable industries, about $10 billion, large SUVs, small SUVs, that's about $7 or $8 billion, liquid propane, okay, that's also a couple of billion. Those are the ones that they targeted with the $50 billion. One of the things I've seen
multiple posts on from various people is sort of mapping out the effects of where the Chinese retaliation would affect. And they seem to be very carefully targeting it to industries that are concentrated in states that voted for Donald Trump.
I don't know if they were doing that specifically, to be honest with you. I think that the problem is that maybe people don't realize is that our key exports really come from those areas. I mean, look, our key exports to China are agriculture, are aircraft, those kinds of things. I mean, the other categories that you could target, I had a list over here of the other things that we – where the hell did they go? Where the hell is this fucking thing?
Well, like for instance, if China really wanted,
like, there's electronics and all these other things.
If China really wanted to get aggressive here, they would say Foxconn's going to keep on making iPhones, but for themselves, they're not going to do it for Apple anymore.
Well, but
things like that, or
but the thing is, but okay, yeah. Remember we're talking import tariffs, okay?
No, I know. I'm
over there, okay? So I'm bringing them over here.
I'm just saying there's more than just tariffs as in this kind of economic war. Like if China really wanted to do damage, there are all kinds of things they could do. But okay, so far they've been doing tariff for tariff.
OK, so the other categories that we didn't include, they actually target the biggest things that we do.
Okay.
Because the other big ones that we didn't do is electronics and integrated circuits would be number three behind soybeans and behind commercial jets. OK. Other large commercial jets, that's smaller because that's a smaller category. They targeted some jets, not all the jets. Then it's a little bit of crude oil, then jet engines and turboprop engines. So the truth is those, the two biggest categories that we export, agricultural products, airplanes. I mean, they nailed those. Those are the ones that they targeted.
Yeah. Okay. And then And then the latest was Donald Trump announced another $500 billion worth of tariffs in retaliation for
$100 billion, not $500 billion.
No, I thought I saw $500 today.
It's $100 billion. It's not $500 billion. It's $100 billion. I have the headline right in front of me. It's $100 billion.
From the newest one from a couple hours ago.
Yes. It's $100 billion. Now he said $100 billion, but they haven't. I think what this is threatened a major escalation and said he was considering imposing tariffs on an additional $100 billion worth of imports from China. But I guess they didn't specify what the hell that is. I think he instructed people to figure out what we could target.
Well, and the rationale is that China's retaliation was unfair.
Right, even though it was for the same amount.
So with... Yeah. What do you think here? Because everybody that we've been following has said this is exactly what would happen if you start doing right. this kind of shit. But do you think that the Trump and the people in his administration who've been pushing this tariff agenda against China, do you think they also agreed that this was what was going to happen and they just feel like we'll come out on top in the end? Or did they do
but
you
Larry
think they
Kudlow was
think...
on TV before he got hired as an economic advisor saying this on TV?
Well, he was
that
against
this is what's
right?
going to happen. Yes, correct.
Right, but I'm talking the people who were for them, who were advocating for them. Do you think they also agreed that this would happen and we'd just come out on top? Or did they actually think that we would do the tariffs and then China would say, oh, okay, no problem?
I don't think that those people are smart enough to really think that many steps ahead. Hmm. That's what I will say.
Because, I don't know.
They're not to be like chess players.
So do you think they're like surprised that China retaliated?
I think probably they're like, oh, this happened. Oh, now what? Oh, we're going to triple down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because the only way that you could, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, then you say, okay, they knew this sequence of events would happen, but they figure they've played it out like five steps out, and they think we're stronger in the end, and so all of this will happen, and in the end, we'll come out ahead. But you don't give them that credit at all. You think that they're just not thinking it through at all.
Yep. I don't think that these guys... When have these guys shown that kind of strategic thinking so far in this administration?
Well, it's all a big multi-dimensional chess master plan, Yvonne.
That's what it is. Okay, great. Okay.
He's mm-hmm. remember, it's all about persuasion, the art of the deal.
Yeah, the art of the deal.
And right. and you know, and he knows better than anybody else how to, you know, sort of psychologically get under people's skins, and in the end it works out for him.
I really do think that right now the Chinese just to freaking humiliate Trump, which is like right now just suck up whatever the fuck they want to put tariffs on in China right now, mm-hmm. just because they probably, you know, because look, Xi Jinping is leader for life apparently now, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yep.
what election does he have to fucking worry about, right? If he doesn't want to look like weak, and he's been trying to project a stronger China, I mean, which
now,
has been
you,
my
do you
concern
think,
about
do you think
this.
China will stick to tit? What is it? Tick for tack? No. Tit for tat. Or will they escalate further?
It's not tick for tack. Right.
Right. It's tit for tat. Anyway, do you think that... are they going to escalate or just continue matching whatever Trump does?
I think they will match whatever Trump does, like right now.
Because China certainly has all kinds of leverage that they could escalate. They could screw with electronics production. Because everything is manufactured in China at this point.
Yeah.
They could screw with buying U.S. bonds or selling them. Well, yeah, things like that.
The thing is that, you know, that gets into a tricky equation that people try to explain. It's like, you know, look, they're kind of stuck in a cycle where they have to buy them. They have to put the money that's coming in somewhere. And since we're... That gets a little bit trickier for them, too. They don't do that because then it means that also if they're not – they're getting all these dollars for selling stuff to the U.S. They have to put them somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? And it's dollars
right.
that they're getting. They're not getting paid in yuan. That's one of the reasons why they have to wind up buying bonds if you're going to be taking all those dollars. So you know, them redirecting that dollar flow gets tricky because then they would have to be selling the dollars.
If they decided to fuck with things.
There are things they could do, but it also would be very complicated for them. That part doesn't get that easy. The part where in terms of trade, where increasing the tariffs turns into something that they could do, that's a lot easier to do than anything else. But the thing is that means that for a while they've also got to be suffering some pain.
Yeah,
a substantial amount. This is not a game of no pain. This is a game of mutual pain, and who's willing to bear the most pain?
Right. Like that's why it's always described as these kinds of things don't have winners.
No,
it's a question of you know, maybe somebody loses a little bit less and somebody loses a little bit more, and maybe you can call that a winner, but the, in the end result, everybody loses.
Oh, yeah, and, totally. And,
but this comes back down to Donald Trump's sort of, what's it called? Zero-sum thinking, where the fact that you're both losing doesn't make sense to him. In the end, right, one of you wins and one of you loses, period.
Right,
end of story.
He doesn't understand, because he really does truly believe in zero sum.
There's That's no right. situation where you're both winners. There's no situation where you're both losers. One of you comes out better than the other one, and that's the winner.
That's the winner. That's what he thinks. Yep. But, you know, that's not really the way this works.
Okay, so moving on from tariffs. What's going on with Mexico and the military, and are we invading Mexico? What's happening?
I guess that we're going to send a whole bunch of troops to get their on vacation to the border, I guess.
Well, and
to go on like stare at the border.
This is also one
because
of the things.
Because apparently the number of troops that he's sending is a couple of thousand people.
Yeah. Well, here's right? Here's the thing. This is another place where Donald Trump completely surprised everybody on his staff, did not, and just all of a sudden we're sending the military to help with the border situation. And item number one, the actual, like, regular duty military isn't allowed to by various laws. So the staff had to come up with, oh, okay, he meant the National Guard. And then started scrambling to figure out some sort of plan where they sent some sort of National Guard contingent to the border states, and they're still figuring that out. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what the people are going to do once they get there.
How long is our border with Mexico? What is it?
A couple thousand miles?
Something like at least 1,000 miles. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Length of border with Mexico. This is thankfully Google. Okay. All right. Otherwise,
wait. You're not actually, using Bing?
No, I'm not using Bing. No fucking Bing. It's actually 2,000 miles.
See, I said a couple thousand.
A couple thousand. You were close. Okay. All right. So it is 2,000 miles. So if I put 4,000 troops, I spread them out, so I could put one every 2 miles, one every half mile?
So, but here's the thing. They're restricted.
Is that what I'm going to do? I'm going to have some moron standing, like, every half mile? What the fuck is that going to do? You might explain to me?
Well, here's the thing. They're limited by law with what they can do anyway. Because,
they're not ICE agents. They're not.
Right. They're not allowed to enforce U.S. laws, and apparently immigration laws count in that category. Now, I keep thinking, like, now what if we had a neighbor country that actually was invading? Presumably, the military would be able to do something about that.
Have a declaration of war.
Yeah. Like, if Mexico actually decided, screw this shit, we're taking Texas back.
Right.
You know, then presumably the military could get involved in defending our southern border.
Yeah, it would be we would make a declaration of war. And
well,
then,
maybe.
You know,
we haven't done those, but maybe. But
I think if we invaded our mainland, then yes, I think that would involve a declaration of war.
You think finally. So?
I think so.
Anyway, but they can't do a lot of things. They can't do ICE activities. They can't do that. They're going to be unarmed, apparently. They can help in certain logistics things, but it's unclear that anybody wanted that help right now. It's been pointed out that both George W. Bush and Obama, at one point or another in their presidencies, sent some National Guard to help along the border. So this has been done before, but it's unclear why we're doing what now. It's also been pointed out, of course, that like traffic across the border is at an all-time low.
Right.
And this is like the whole thing about why this whole immigration debate, especially with Mexico, is bullshit. Like, for years now, there have been more people leaving the U.S. to go to Mexico than the other way around.
Correct.
You know?
And oh, by the way, 70% of the people that I looked at the number, the latest stats.
Come in by sea or air.
Come in by, exactly, through some legal mean that has nothing to do with crossing that border.
And then overstay their visas or whatever.
Correct, yeah.
You know, exactly. So it's not, I mean, sure there are some, but
right.
The big, pro, the if you even call it a problem, the big flow is not people trying to get across that border on land that's going to be helped by any of this shit. But in this particular case, this is just like, they have no idea what these people are even going to do when they get there. Like, they're trying to make up on a fly a mission for them because out of the blue, Donald Trump said, okay, you're not giving me my wall. I'm going to send troops.
Right.
And it makes no sense. The military is like, has a big question mark over their head. Like, what are we supposed to do?
Right.
You know, there are a variety of governors that are saying he's not going to call up my National Guard. You know, I'm not going to go along with that. Right. Some of the border state National Guards will probably participate because they've got Republican governors. But it's all just like another piece of this nonsense. And it ties to the conversation about, you know, this, what was the caravan that was coming up through Mexico?
I think it was Honduran, yeah. I think it was. Yeah.
Because they're coming to get our DACA. Which, of course, makes no sense.
I'm like, what? That's how you understand people saying this. Like, what the fuck are you saying? What do you mean getting DACA? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, those people aren't. Those people wouldn't be eligible under that law anyway, even if.
Right.
You know, because it's all just a smokescreen, right? It's like. You know, Donald Trump was getting criticized by all kinds of people on his base. We had Ann Coulter and other people saying he's abandoned us on immigration. So he's making a big show on immigration.
Zippity doodah.
Okay. Now, I don't know. There's one I can't talk about. Do you want to talk about a certain company that he's been going on about, or should we just skip that?
I'm trying to think. I was trying to think of it from a broader perspective instead of talking about specifically about your. I mean, look. So the president, as his usual has been since the beginning, gets every other time obsessed with a company or something for
some
something
company.
That pisses him.
Some company remain,
because
nameless.
Because look, he's had it out against Ford. He's had it out. Somebody today had published a list of all the companies that the president has had it out for since he's been president.
Okay.
And he's gone on these rants about company X and something that they're doing. And then after a while, he gets bored and he changes the subject to something else. I mean, you know, look, the Ford CEO basically got fired. Like last year, because he mishandled Trump and this whole thing because they were going to build a plant in Mexico and whatever. And Trump started attacking him on public, and then he freaked out. And then he said, we're canceling the plant. And everybody at Ford and I think the board were like, are you some kind of fucking idiot? This thing's going to cost us $1 billion when we get out. They basically fired him and then went forward with a plan anyway. Okay. So, look, I think that. That's shown that the model for any time that Trump is going after a company, which is what you were talking about as staff, you know, whatever. It's just, you know what? Don't even answer. Just don't do anything. Just ignore it because he's going to get distracted by something else at some point. You know, so I don't know.
Well,
so
he's had it
for one company. He'll have it out for another one later and then they'll come back and whatever.
Well, and that.
You know, and obviously he uses no facts whatsoever.
Well, and this is the theme that seems to be applying to everything, not just him attacking companies. More and more people are just coming around to, well, let's just ignore him and see if it goes away, because at least half the time it does.
Right. It does.
And maybe some of the times he comes back to it and insists on something happening. But then
he gets distracted again anyway.
But most of the time, it seems when he rants on something, you know, if you just ignore it, then it goes away. I mean, that whole thing about him ordering his staff to fire Mueller last year sometime.
Right.
That's exactly the strategy they took. They didn't say no to him. They didn't. To his face, threatened to resign. They just ignored the order.
Right. And it worked eventually.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But although we're seeing they tried to do that with tariffs, and eventually it stopped working.
Yep.
So
apparently, but I think that, you know, with tariffs, I guess I understand that was more difficult. I think he had been focused on that for so long. It had been the one thing that, I mean, all these other things, he's like gone from one or the other. But he's been on this one, I think, you know, for longer than any of the others. I mean, he has ranted about this more than anything else. So I guess, you know, I guess now you know where he is, that he stays on subject, I guess. That there's a couple of things he will. He keeps going back to immigration, and he keeps going back to tariffs. Okay? So that we know that he's, I guess, consistent in the fact that he'll come back to it at some point. Even if the policy is a big freaking mess.
Right. Okay, now we're going to take a break in just a second, and we'll move on to the scandals. But one thing I wanted to, I just saw it come up on Twitter. There's an article in the Washington Post about the Syria thing. For Trump and his generals, victory has different meanings, by Greg Jaffe. I have not read the article yet, but somebody on Twitter, Michael Crowley, posted a quote from it that is sort of another insight into Trump and how he cares about people or not or whatever. So I'll read this quote from this article. Later, when the agency's head of drone operations explained that the CIA had developed special munitions to limit civilian casualties, the president seemed unimpressed. Watching a previously recorded strike in which the agency held off on firing until the target had wandered away with a house with his family inside, Trump asked, "Why did you wait?" You know, and so this is, yeah, this is another place that, you know, alongside with everything else in terms of how he is or is not involved in Syria or these other countries, he clearly has no concern for these things whatsoever. I mean, you remember during the campaign, he was like, "We're going to kill all their families too."
Right.
I was just outright like, "We'll obliterate them. We'll kill them. We'll kill their families. We'll kill everybody. And then they'll see," you know, right. Whereas the U.S. military and the CIA and even all these other folks, you know, if you go back to World War II, we had a total war strategy. We dropped nukes. We obliterated cities in Europe with firebombing and everything else. It was all about kill everybody. You know, we need to win at all costs.
Well, let's be clear. They had been killing everybody.
Well, yes.
The Germans and the Japanese were doing the same.
Look, it was total war. It was total war.
That was nuts.
We have not had that. And like, a large number of wars previous to that were of that mode, too. Of course, when you conquer a country, you kill everybody and you rape the women and you do this and you do that. That was just how war was. But one of the big accomplishments of, you know, the 20th century was
we got out of that business.
We got out of that business, and countries started to think about, you know, hey, let's try to, I mean, you're still killing people. Let's not get too excited about this. But people start actually caring about not killing the civilians and killing as few people as you can get away with, targeting the specific ones you need to kill for a military purpose and trying to leave the others alone. And, you know, and that has been internalized. So like the CIA, as they were saying, is like they're doing a drone strike and they sit there waiting for the guy to leave so that they'll get just him and not him and his family. And Donald Trump thinks that's bullshit.
Right. Yep.
So anyway,
and also what he also thinks is bullshit is any analysis or any information real whatsoever. He watches the damn TV and he then spews a whole bunch of bullshit. And even though he's got at his command probably, you know, one of the largest intelligence agencies in the world, military intelligence, the State Department, all of these fucking like people that spend their time scouring information to give you detailed information that you could find facts. You're looking at this convoy. You're talking like people, right? The convoy of people that generated this whole bullshit that, right, you were talking about. He wanted to get live satellite pictures of them. He could have gotten live satellite. He could have gotten whatever the fuck he wanted. But what does he do? What does he do? He relies on fucking Fox News. This is so disgusting.
This is how. Well, and the criticism of the outgoing national security advisor who's being replaced by Bolton is he got upset because, I mean, amongst other things, but one of the things that kept coming up over and over again was the guy kept trying to give him briefings that had actual information in them. You know, and tried to instruct him on, like, here's what's going on. Here's the complexity. He thought it was too long and too boring. And there's too much of, you know, hey, on the one hand, some people think this. On the one hand, other people think that. And he was like, I don't want any of that bullshit.
Maybe they should just hire a Fox production crew to just take his content and just, like, kind of like, put it in that form. Maybe he'll pay attention.
They have been trying to do things like that.
Well, apparently they have.
Like I said, they're actually
on,
like,
the fucking shows.
Well, yes, they're doing that, but also even internally, they have apparently been doing some things like packaging more stuff in video form and doing more visual stuff instead of things he has to read. You know, things like that.
Jesus Christ, what a fucking thing. Read, for God's sakes. Fucking mainlining fucking Fox News instead of, like, Twitter, but, you know, fuck.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. We still have to do the scandals, but not too long, because I actually have to go and pick up my mom from the airport right after we finish recording the show. So we will be back right after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this. I hit the radio dial, and tune it up all the way. I got a dance in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620 and in stereo at LiganairRadio.com. The Valley.
Puppy, 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 puppy.
Okay, and we are back, and we're not going to talk about puppies.
You told me to say puppies.
Yes. So anyway. Okay, so Trump scandals. I presume Bruce and anybody else who doesn't care about the scandals and thinks this is all overblown is gone at this point. We'll try to still stick away from the absolute speculation, but there is more stuff going on. And I actually don't have an itemized list of everything. We do have a number of cases this last week where we've gotten more reports of activity from Mueller. Sorry, I keep saying Mueller. It's Mueller. In any case, he's been doing things like stopping people at the airport and pulling them in. And we know he did that what's his name? The guy from the Seychelles who organized that. But also, apparently, he's done it with a few other people. And there were reports earlier this week that he's doing it with some Russian oligarchs who were visiting the country, too, even when they were, like, arriving in their private jet or whatever. He's pulling them in. He's questioning them. He's confiscating their electronic equipments and making copies. He's all this kind of stuff. He's getting, you know, pretty bold here in who he's pulling in for questioning. Now, we don't know what he's finding. We don't know what they've said. Maybe, you know, there's nothing here. But he certainly seems to have a direct, you know, set of people he's talking to with a certain agenda, and he's pushing forward. I don't know. What do you think of the... and also, we've been getting more and more of these reports. Remember, for months and months and months, whatever he was doing seemingly was completely secret, and we didn't find out about it until much, much later. It seems like we've had a few cases in the last few weeks where we found out right after one of these things events.
Well, I think this means that the investigation is wrapping up.
Well, and
you know, he's done.
Well, this part, maybe.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I am kidding. I'm like, look, I mean, when somebody is doing that to that level, it's because they are escalating the investigation, not because they are finishing or wrapping up any fucking investigation. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting that aggressive. It means that they have suspicions about certain specific things. It is very obvious that, especially, it came out, and I think it probably – I'm sure that some Trump people have to be really – anybody who is a brain on the Trump side has to be really freaked out. When Manafort tried to claim that Mueller was going outside of his authority and was claiming that, and Mueller basically showed, no, I'm not, and here's the authorization, and here it is in writing, and it was documented back in May.
Right.
In August. And so that means that he is going – by the book and with authority and with the knowledge of Rosenstein. And if he's doing that, then that means that all of this stuff that he's doing has to be part of something that is not just some – you can see that it wasn't some wild goose chase.
It's not a fishing expedition per se.
It's – no. He knew something specific. He wrote down what the fuck it was, and he targeted something very specific. And so if he's pulling all these people out, it's because there is something specific that he is after that they know about.
Right.
And he is actively searching for that.
Now, apparently one of the other leaks from these last week or so, and this comes from Trump's lawyers, is that Mueller has said that he is he made the distinction that Trump is not currently a target. He's under investigation, but he's not a direct target. People have pointed out, well, that can change on a dime, so that doesn't really mean anything. But they also mentioned that they are planning on issuing a report, but that they may do the reports in pieces rather than all at once in the end, with potentially the first piece being on obstruction. So that's a nice new tidbit to potentially know. But Trump's lawyers, again, and considered a source, are saying that he wants sort of the interview with Trump to be the thing that caps things off, which again sort of leads to the he's wrapping it up kind of narrative.
Right.
But I, honestly, like, even if he felt like he had gotten to a certain point, a conversation with Trump would almost certainly open up additional avenues that they would need to investigate.
Right. Obviously. Yes. Totally. Depending on what the hell came out of the conversation, of course. I mean, I don't see how they can make it that they believe that that is something that is going to wrap anything up, especially with this guy with his loose lips.
Right. And so as part of this negotiation, Dowd, who was Trump's chief lawyer on this, resigned in part because of conflict over the approach of Donald Trump to testifying. He was one of the ones encouraging Donald Trump not to testify. Donald Trump apparently wants to testify to clear his
name.
Like,
now it's got to be like saying, you got to be fucking kidding me.
But Trump's team to deal with Mueller is down to bare bones now. He's like got 1.5 lawyers working on it or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, with not even like full time, you know? And he tried to bring on a couple other people and that didn't work out. One of them he announced was joining his team and then was like, oh no, sorry, I can't, conflict. And then there were reports of several others who turned him down. 'Cause nobody wants to be his damn lawyer.
Right. Who the hell wants to be lawyers to this guy? I mean, really, it's just he makes for the worst frickin' client. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. And this whole – all this back and forth about, like, trying to negotiate how he'll testify, again, in the end, it's Mueller being nice as long as he wants to be nice, because in the end, there have been repeated Supreme Court cases that say that – essentially, Mueller can subpoena him whenever he wants, and the president has to testify, has to come.
Here's
in.
Here's the other thing, though. The fact that he said that there's no criminal investigation. Look, for a president, you know,
It might not be a criminal investigation simply because he did, under current Justice Department policy, you can't indict the president. He would have to refer it to the
Congress. For impeachment. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I'm like, I thought I saw that and I'm like, this is a red herring. I mean, he wouldn't anyway. He would have to refer it to Congress. Here it is. This is what I found.
Now, there is some legal debate about that, but Mueller is going by the book on everything, and regardless of any debate about whether or not, because this has not gone to the Supreme Court. It has only been sort of executive department advisory rulings on what to do. However, there is a Justice Department policy that says we don't indict the sitting president.
Right.
And instead, the proper mode is a referral to impeachment if something really is necessary. And so with Mueller, going by the book, that's what he would do if he was going to do anything. Now, one thing I think I should say here, after that back and forth with Bruce a couple episodes ago, we had some additional discussion on our Slack. And I've been meaning to bring it up on the show ever since, but there hasn't been a good opportunity till now, where Bruce actually replied at some point saying, every time you guys talk about this, it keeps sounding like you're so excited because you think the very next revelation is going to be the one that brings Trump down. And
I don't know where he got that, because I've said actually that. Hell, I think my prediction, by the way, on Trump leaving office is one or two. I said there are only two ways I see him. A, either he loses the election, or B, which is what I actually
– He has a health issue.
Yes, that he has a health issue.
And what I've said on this lines is here's what I here's my broad prediction about what's going to happen with the Mueller investigation. It's that – Mueller will end up indicting a whole bunch of people around Donald Trump for various nefarious things.
Yes.
He will write a report that implicates Trump himself as potentially involved in all kinds of things as well. But I have doubts that he'll get that smoking gun that 100% definitively says Donald Trump was behind it all. Because honestly, from everything I've seen so far, including how dumb Donald Trump appears to be about just about everything in the universe, I don't think this is a Donald Trump master plan of doing all sorts of nefarious things that he could be impeached for. I think this is all kinds of people around Donald Trump, maybe including Vladimir Putin and the Russians, but at the very least, the immediate circles around Donald Trump using him for their own goals.
Did you see the movie A Few Good Men?
A long, long time ago.
All right. So maybe, and actually, I think this would work on Trump being such a moron. Look, why would Dowd be scared of putting him up there? In terms of that, I know you said he's not going to find a smoking gun, but I fear that Dowd would think that he would wind up with a moment like in that movie, A Few Good Men, where basically he just wants to blurt it out.
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, and he is so dumb that he's like, of course I fired him because I'm like, and he'll just blurt out whatever the fuck it is.
I agree with you to an extent here, because there are a lot of things where I think the honest truth of this is Donald Trump believes he has done nothing wrong and is proud of the things he's done.
Exactly.
And will be willing to say, yes, I fired Comey because he was investigating this Russia thing and that was bullshit. And yes, I accepted help from the Russians because I wanted to win, and why not? Or whatever.
Right.
And
he has no problem with admitting it. Exactly. And that's why I think his lawyer is scared shitless. Because he's like, motherfucker, this guy is going to sit over there and just fucking implicate himself.
So you don't think it's the fear of the perjury trap. You think it's the fear of maybe he'll tell the fucking truth. And the fucking truth is he did things that he thinks are fine, but are actually illegal.
Correct. Oh, yeah. It's not the perjury trap at all. No, he will just blurt out and admit doing something illegal.
Now,
because he thinks it's not.
Now, don't you think he would have? Well, he has. I was going to say, don't you think he would have just done that in public? But he has. He did the Lester Holt interval. He's repeatedly said things where, if you look at it directly, you're right. He just admitted it right there. He admitted obstruction of justice on national television.
He admitted sexual assault.
Yeah.
He admitted obstruction of justice. I mean, why not?
And so far, nothing fucking's happened.
That's right.
I mean, there's an investigation, yeah, but nothing's happened. And here's the other thing. The other part of that is, okay, let's say a bunch of people around Trump are indicted, and a report comes out from Mueller outlining all kinds of things that Trump did, some of which are actually illegal, but more of which are, maybe there's something actually illegal, maybe not. But even if there's nothing out and out illegal, there'll be lots and lots of stuff that are clearly unethical, clearly on the edge, clearly, you know, pushing things well beyond norms. And maybe some things that are actually illegal. Then what? Now, there are two parts of this. In the current environment, you know, I continue to say, and I've said this repeatedly every time this happens, until Trump's base turns on him, Congress, the Republican Congress, is too scared to do jack shit. Okay?
Right.
Now, so the response from the Republicans is, at least enough of the Republicans to keep anything from happening, is still going to be, oh, yeah, I wish he wouldn't have done that. You know, but, you know, basically sort of the same sort of equivocating they've been doing all this time. And you've already seen the arguments you see in public have moved from, of course he didn't do that, to, well, even if he did that, it's not a big deal. And I think you'd see that trend continue. I mean, of course, it depends on exactly the things that would come up. But I think you'd see a lot of that sort of trying to justify it as no big deal and whatever. And it's not important enough. We're not going to impeach. We're not going to use the 25th Amendment. We're going to whatever. If there is an election in November and the Democrats do take the House in a decisive way, even if they don't take the Senate, and people start, if Republicans start seeing in a way that they can't deny through the results of an election that Trump is actually a liability for their own political careers, then they may start turning on him. But even then, it's a question of how many and how and blah, but it would take that. Now, even then, like, there are people talking about, well, if the Democrats take the House, they should introduce articles of impeachment on January 3rd, right after they're sworn in, and start the process. I think that would be idiotic, because until or unless you start having a change of opinion on within Republican senators that let you think you have a decent chance of convicting in the Senate, the best case scenario there is that you repeat the Bill Clinton scenario, and for that matter, Andrew Johnson, where you go through, you impeach, and then you go through the trial in the Senate, and then in the end, they're acquitted. You know, unless you have a good chance of conviction, I'm not sure that's a useful exercise to go through. And whether or not there's a good chance to conviction will depend on how compelling the stuff is in the Mueller document when it comes out. Like, is Mueller going to come out with something before the election or not until next year sometime? Unclear, you know. And then if there is an election, do the Democrats take the House? If they do, how convincingly are a whole bunch of senators scared because they almost lost their seats, or maybe they even did, or what? I mean, because I think in order to do a successful impeachment you have to have a scenario where the president's party abandons him. And it, so far, we've seen so much stuff. There's no signs of that happening in any significant numbers. None. Through all of this, because everybody's still on their partisan sides, despite everything. And because the calculus on the Republican side, you know, is basically he's a bastard, but he's sort of our bastard. Yeah, he's not doing exactly what they want either, but they feel like their political chances are better sticking with them than they are going against him. And until or unless that calculus changes, absent a major health issue, you know, Donald Trump is going to finish his term.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to finish at least his first term. Yeah, for sure.
At least his first term. Oh, God.
I mean, I look, I can't guarantee he's going to lose the election, but I...
No, we can't. We can't at all.
I do think that...
He's about the same place in the polls now as he was when he won the election.
Right. You know, so he's been pretty stable, I guess. Yeah. You know. Look, I mean, I would say, look, if I had to bet, listen, if you ask me right now, put money right now, is Trump winning re-election? If I had to put $1,000 on it right now, I would bet on him not winning the re-election.
Yeah, I would agree. I think his win was a fluke.
In terms of what we know, in terms of what the voting has been with the Democrats, the special elections, what the margin was in the victory, how the states were where he lost have been moving, just those that he won has been moving, those things.
Yeah.
That's why I would put the money there. Now, would I give you do I give you an ironclad guarantee that I think that he's going to lose?
No,
I wouldn't do that right now.
There are all sorts of scenarios where he could still win again. It has to do with who's the Democratic opponent. You know,
right.
we have no fucking idea right
that
now
yet.
You know, like there are a number of Democrats you could think of. You know, Bernie's in the mix. What if Bernie's the Democratic nominee?
Juana insisted to me this week that why don't I run? I said no. I said I'm not running. It's not that funny.
It's hilarious.
Be better than he is. Well, yeah, it is that funny. Jesus Christ, what a fucking campaign this would be. Yeah, we pulled all your podcasts. You do say fuck a lot, don't you? Fuck, I do. Any other questions?
Yeah. Anyway, well, I don't think that would be a blocker at this point. I mean, given Donald Trump.
Actually, right now, that's the thing that would be that may be on the plus side. The fact that I apparently cannot control myself or saying fuck. Of course, I guess probably they'll stop bleeping me at some point.
How many people have you paid $100,000 to shut up about the affairs you've had with them while your wife was pregnant?
I could honestly say right now, 100%, that number is a big fat zero.
So you're ahead of the game.
I'm ahead of the game. Yes.
Okay. Speaking of them, let's talk briefly about Trump's women. This happened a couple weeks ago, but we never talked on the show about it. And one of the reasons why is I honestly am thinking this is a big fat zero. I mean, people have made a lot of hay about this. But,
right, this is like interesting fodder, but it's not bringing him down. Unless, well, there is one aspect. Look, let's not minimize one thing. Why did John Edwards went to jail, right? He did, right?
No, he was acquitted.
He wound up being acquitted?
Yeah. They charged him, they took him to trial, but he was acquitted.
Ah, fuck. Well, they did indict him over this whole damn mess of the money from the campaign and the payoffs.
There are two things that are potentially interesting here. One is there a campaign finance issue?
Mm-hmm.
Which, frankly, of everything that Donald Trump has been accused of, people are going to sort of say, it's a campaign finance issue. That's a stupid technicality, really. And they're not going to do much about that.
It really isn't. I mean, we have indicted other people over this
shit. Yeah. But I'm saying, look, you know, people.
That's what his supporters would say, right?
It's what his supporters would say. It's what Republicans in Congress would say. This is not something that is going to go anywhere. Maybe if you had, Democrats in charge of the House and with a supermajority in the Senate, maybe. But that's not our situation, Now, the other bit is the accusations of him sending thugs to threaten Stormy.
Okay. That's getting more criminal there.
That's getting more like, you're just acting like a mobster here,
Yeah.
But having looked at both Stormy and the playmate whose name I'm forgetting.
I don't remember either. Whatever.
Both of these were consensual affairs. It looks like in both cases, while there may have been some shenanigans and some pressure there, both of these women knew what they were agreeing to when they signed these NDAs. They agreed to the terms. They basically understood the terms. And in both cases seem to be more upset that they don't feel that they got enough out of their side of the deal than they do about, oh my God, I was pressured into this, or, they were intimidating me or whatever.
Well, in large part, it seems, bigger problem with this whole thing, especially with Stormy, was the fact that, she didn't reveal this as public. She had been denying it, but the people, Trump's attorneys went and they spilled the beans on it. Well, even though there was an NDA.
Yeah. And there's also
NDA.
In both cases, there's also apparently an accusation that the lawyers for the women were actually collaborating behind the scenes with Trump's lawyer rather than acting fully on to advocate for their own client. So there's some shady stuff there.
I have been told in cases where that is a question, okay, all right, that makes the agreements null and void.
Yeah.
Because I faced this issue a number of years back in a situation, and I was flat out told. I sat down at an attorney's office and he said, "Dude, let me tell you something. If that other attorney was not independent, you will probably they will make that agreement null and void." And I was like, "You got to be shitting me." Nope. And I was like, "Okay."
Yeah. So look, there was some shady stuff there, but for the most part, I've looked when Anderson Cooper interviewed both of these women, and I tweeted something about it at the time. I was really disappointed because it was all about interviewing them about the affair. And when did you do this with Donald Trump? And did he do this? And did he do that? And who the fuck cares about the affair? I mean, okay.
Well, a lot of people did because the ratings were huge.
Well, yeah. Okay. But, from the point, I get that. And I'm sure Melania cares, too. She seems to be a bit pissed.
I'm pretty sure that she's fucking very pissed.
But the point is, the affair doesn't matter.
Oh, poor woman. Oh, God. I'm actually feeling pity for the poor woman. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, but in the grand scheme of things, the affair itself is, the kind of things that it's gossip. It's like, ah, ha, ha, look, he had an affair, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't matter, except maybe to his wife. The only possibility of is there something really bad here related to these women is, was there something that wasn't consensual, or was there something improper about the way that he shut them up? And so far, it's looking like it was fully consensual in both cases. And in the was there anything improper in shutting them up? Maybe.
That's a question.
Maybe, but it doesn't look like major. Maybe there was a little bit of improper here or there, but it's not the kind of thing where everybody would be like, "Oh my God, that's the end of everything."
Well, the other part you seem forgetting is, like we mentioned, it seems like there may have been a campaign finance violation, which is another significant issue over which a lot of people have gotten into hot water over, would be illegal. But, at the same time, like you said, it's like, they invite them and you're like,
Yeah, look, the campaign finance thing, I think it's just nobody cares about campaign finance. Maybe Mueller will care about campaign finance to some degree. Because that has...
I know you're saying that the people don't get all too hot and frothy about it. It's still illegal. Okay, all right? Right. And it's and you know, people have been indicted over it. So the question is, what the hell happens with that?
This is something that could, like... I mean, all the Cambridge Analytica stuff is potentially campaign finance stuff as well.
Right.
You know, so there is an aspect of that that might be part of what Mueller ends up looking into. It might be part of some case against Donald Trump that's made. But I'm talking sort of public reaction in general.
And specific... But I'm not even talking public. Listen, public reaction, whatever the public reaction. Listen, the public is heartened in between the stances where they are at right now. Yeah. I mean, Trump was right. OK, Trump could go out there and fucking shoot somebody and at Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. And he's right. He was right.
Yeah.
So that is
amazingly
whatever.
Enough, he was right.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Have I missed any major new Trump scandal? Oh, the EPA guy. Do we want to talk about the EPA guy? Which, well, by the way, Pruitt, who is the EPA guy who's had all of these scandals, right before all of these scandals started to break, there was a lot of talk that Donald Trump wanted to fire Sessions and make Pruitt the next attorney general.
But now it's like Pruitt is the guy in the firing line. Okay, now on all of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, right? I thought today, listen, he got the KOD. He got the kiss of death today.
Look, where Trump said he has his confidence.
Yes.
Yeah, that always is like a few days before somebody's gone.
Totally. So I think the guy's toast. Now, the guy has been found to have, like, for example, fired and demoted somebody. What was the one thing the new thing I heard today? He wanted to get a NetJets account. Okay? So, okay.
Now, NetJets, what is account, that?
All right. Okay, I'll explain. So NetJets account is where you pay like a down payment of $50,000, $100,000, and then you pay $100,000 a month to have unlimited access to a private airplane.
Right.
For travel. He wanted to commit to $100,000 a month to have unlimited access. And somebody told him at EPA, said, dude, you're not approved to do that. You cannot do that. And there was a guy that stopped him. And that person apparently wound up getting demoted, reassigned, something or whatever. Okay,
yeah, happened no, to and that look, person. Look, you can – like the Secretary of State gets to fly on a government plane when they're going internationally and stuff.
Sure.
That makes sense. You know,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of people sort of bitch about first class seats. I could actually even be on board with saying, hey, you're in the cabinet. You get to fly first class, you know, but having a jet constantly on call seems a little overkill for the head of the EPA.
Yeah, the head of the fucking EPA could travel commercial and nobody could give two flying rats ass about it. Nobody would recognize him.
Mm.
You know?
Well, didn't he also have a permanent security staff of like 20 or 30 people as well?
Some shit like that. And he had apparently people shop houses for him. Oh, and the other thing was that apparently he had a lobbyist was renting him an apartment.
Room. Yeah.
Renting him a room for like a $50 a day or something like that or whatever, in a location that was, let's just say, quite expensive.
Right.
And so it was very obvious that it was like, you know, it was well under market rate. And a whole bunch of other stuff that came out about him spending money. And I don't know, all of these cabinet guys, you know, I guess, you know, Trump is like the one that most embarrasses me. I got to get rid of that guy.
Right.
That's the way it works. So I think that this guy, and now I heard, you know, that thing about him being in the firing line, you know, saying, you know, I have my full confidence in him. I think he's dead.
Yeah. One of the things I saw like 24, 48 hours ago was that Kelly had basically told him this series of bad news stories has to stop. Right now, or
they ain't stopping,
and they haven't stopped. There have been more since then.
Yep, they ain't stopping. So, you know,
well, now
he's kind of fucked.
Now, how much of this though is, you know, is sort of natural, and how much is somebody else in the administration's out to get him? and so is leaking this stuff intentionally.
I think obviously there are people leaking the stuff out to get him. I mean, you know, but the guy, I mean, the guy has done plenty of shit. I mean, the guy is a fucking doofus for all the crap that he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, we heard Brent Carson ordered one $30,000 piece of furniture. I mean, dude, this guy wanted to spend $100,000 a month on like air travel.
Right.
A month.
And this this is one of the things too, where apparently from a policy point of view, I mean, you and I probably disagree with almost everything this guy has done at the EPA, but Trump and the other folks around Trump were actually very, very pleased with how he was cutting various regulations here and there and doing this and that, and was very much on point and on agenda doing the things that Trump wanted him to do from the point of view of the job itself. But all of this other stuff around them is now, again, it's Trump doesn't like it when other people in his administration are in the news more than he is. It actually doesn't matter whether the stories are negative or positive. He doesn't like people being in the news more than him. You know,
that's very true. That I think is the main driver. Yes.
And that's what's been happening. So
yeah, this guy's in the news way too fucking much. Get rid of him.
Yeah. Okay. And anything else? Oh, I mean, we talked about Stormy. The new thing today was Trump actually directly denied knowing anything about that payment earlier today. I don't know, think that makes a difference to anything else we said.
That goes probably in terms of like perjury if he's found out to be lying.
Well, it's not like he said it under oath.
He didn't say it under oath, but you know. Well,
although Stormy's lawyer is saying that statement completely game over, all the NDAs are gone because of that. We'll see. I mean, it's not like, is there anything else to hear, really? I mean, we've heard everything about both these women. Anyway, I didn't mean to get back to the women, but
but that happened, and, you know. So
yeah. Anything whatever. Else? Yeah. Anything else? I think we're done.
I think we got most of the stuff for this week.
Okay. So, and that's good because I have to leave to go get my mom at the airport in like 5 minutes. So perfect timing. So thanks everybody for listening to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, you know the drill. Go to facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner, comment, make, you know, share with your friends, tell people you like us, don't tell people you hate us. Don't do that. Just if you hate us, don't bother.
Right.
But don't tell people you
Yeah, but you know,
hate everyone but me.
Right.
That's what you should do. That's what you should do. That's gats, whats, jets.
Uh huh.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so yeah, go to Facebook. Give us comments. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us topics you'd like us to talk about. You can find us both on Twitter. Which, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, we've been mainlining, but are trying to cut back. We're trying to cut back.
I actually have been using it a lot less. I don't know if you noticed today that I shared a whole bunch of stories on the Slack and they weren't coming from Twitter.
Huh. Anyway, I'm Abulsme on Twitter, ABULSME. Yvonne is at IMBOU. Follow us. And, you know, talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. And finally, if you really like the show, patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner, where you can donate a little bit to the cause. And at certain levels, you can get various things from us, including getting mentioned on the show. Getting mentioned on the show, having us ring a bell, access to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that Yvonne was just mentioning.
Yeah, we haven't rang the bell in a while. We want our bell rung.
Yeah, well, no, it hasn't been that long. Me. You know, we had Greg a few weeks back, but
Oh yeah, that's right. Hi, Greg.
But and at higher levels, you can even get things like a mug. You want a Curmudgeon's
Corner
mug?
Yes, and the mugs are
you?
Cool. I just drank tea today from my mug, and I must say, I love the mug.
There you go.
Whoa!
Don't
Why
you?
Why out of a mug instead, which makes sense.
I mean, come on, don't you want to drink out of a mug with our faces on it?
Okay. No!
All right. Okay, that's we're out of here. Yep.
Thanks. We're out of here. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Everybody.
Drink out of you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great week. See you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.